This week's Parsha, Chaye Sarah, so Rishon and spilling a few psukim into Sheni, deals with the burial of Sarah, the purchase of the Marat HaMachpelah, the lengthy negotiations that Abraham undergoes with the Chitim in general and with Ephron HaChiti in particular in order to purchase the Marat HaMachpelah, not just the Ma'ara, the entire field around the Machpelah. The Torah goes into details with regard to this, and there have already been those who pointed out that the nature of the contract is, from an archaeological perspective, hits a nail on the head of the contracts that were written by the Chitim in that particular period. But the question, of course, has to be raised as to why the Torah tells us all of this. And what the 20 psukim or so that are devoted to the burial of Sarah, and again, not really the burial of Sarah as much as to the purchase of the Marat HaMachpelah. This is the only place, not the only place where the Torah talks about the burial of people. It's not the only place where the Torah even talks about the specific area where a person is buried, but far and away, in all of the Tanakh, forgetting about the Torah, this is the, there's no competition here, this is by far the most detailed description of the purchase and the acquisition of a burial plot. And of course the question is why. And here there are many answers that are given. I want to focus on an idea which is categorically rejected by the Ramban. Categorically rejected. The Ibn Ezra says the following. Ibn Ezra says, "V'acharei ken kavar Avraham et Sarah." U'me'az, the Ibn Ezra says, "Nitkayem hasadel achuzat kever lo ulzaro." From that point on, this field was a holding place, an achuzah, for the burial, for the grave of Abraham and for all of his descendants. Vinizkirazot haparsha. So why was this parsha mentioned? Lahodia ma'alat eretz Yisrael al kol haratzot l'chayim ulmeitim. So for one, the Ibn Ezra says, is in order, the Torah wants us to know how the importance and the value of Eretz Yisrael is from all other places in the world, for both for the living and for the dead. Va'od l'kayem dvar Hashem la'Avraham liyot lo nenachala. So also this is a tangible fulfillment of the promise that that Hashem had given to Abraham, that this would be a inheritance to him. And I just want to read what the Ramban says to it. Now you understand. The Ramban had given, by the way, take a look at the Ramban, Pasuk Yutet, he gives several of his own explanations, and then he says at the end, "V'lo yadati tam l'divrei Rabbi Avraham." I don't understand the Ibn Ezra at all. And he quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he says, "Ki ma ma'ala la'aretz bazek, ki lo yolichena al'aretz acheret l'kovra." And what is implied by the psukim? How can you say that Eretz Yisrael is made more special here by the fact that Abraham buries Sarah in the land? What's the alternative? Is Abraham going to, you know, hire, you know, bring her to a plane, bring her back to Haran, fly her to Ur Kasdim? What are the alternatives that Avraham has? He has to bury her here. Moreover, Udvar Hashem la'Avraham al kol ha'aretz. God spoke to Avraham about the entire land. And how can therefore v'nitkayem rak b'zarel? And that was only fulfilled with his descendants. This is just a burial plot. It's just a field that he buys. That's the kiyum of the nachala. That is what is so important. As I said, and that's where the Ramban leaves it. You know, the Ramban leaves the Ibn Ezra, basically totally abandoned. I would like to, in the 1 minute that I have, 2 minutes that I have, just try to rehabilitate the Ibn Ezra. Because what do I think the Ibn Ezra is trying to say here is actually fundamental and very close to, not close to, I think it it creates, it really it is the pshat of not only of this perek, but of the remainder in many ways of Sefer Bereishit. But let's just, I just want to read a few psukim to you. The back in Perek Yud Zayin, when Avraham first comes to the land, V'natati after v'hakimoti et briti b'ni uv'necho v'in zaracha l'acharecha l'dorotam. What is going to be this brit? What is going to be this covenant? V'natati l'cha l'zaracha acharecha et eretz mugurecha et kol eretz kena'an l'achuzat olam. I'm going to give you all of Eretz Canaan, the way the Ramban says, but then the Torah uses a specific word. And this word's not going to come up again until what Avraham says to Bnei Chet. Tenuli achuzat kever. Give me a holding place for this kever. Achuzah, literally on, achizah, to hold on to. A brit, a covenant that Hashem gives to Abraham without an achizah, without some kind of hold onto the land, something tangible. So that brit is a hollow brit. That brit is something which doesn't have tangibility. So as a result, Abraham feels he has to do more than simply bury Sarah. He has to have an achuzah in the land. The same achuzah that Hashem speaks to Abraham about at the very beginning. And here, if you take a look at what happens in just three other times when we have a discussion of the burial of his descendants, the people who will be buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, first, Abraham himself, Vayikberu oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav el marat ha-machpelah, and the Torah repeats, El stei Ephron ben Sochar chiti asher el b'nei mamre, hasadeh asher kana Abraham mi'et b'nei chet. It is so important to tell us, the Torah says, that this is where Abraham is buried. And when Yitzchak is, excuse me, when Yaakov is buried, b'ma'ara asher b'stei ha-machpelah, he's lying in Egypt and he says, this is where I must go. Be'eretz Kenan asher kana Avraham et hasadeh me'et Ephron achiti la'achuzat kever. And the Torah repeats it a perek later when they actually bring Yaakov to burial. Asher kana Avraham et hasadeh la'achuzat kever. The achuzah, the achizah, this holding on to the land, this is something that has been repeats itself again and again in Sefer Bereishit. And the Kinyan of Avraham is one that echoes until today. There is a wonderfully ironic midrash. And I don't know whether the midrash was meant ironically, but looking back 1600 years or so since this midrash was formulated, so I think that we can all understand the irony in it. Vayiken et chelkat hasadeh shenata sham ahlo. The midrash is not referring to this kinyan; it's referring to another kinyan, which will happen in a few more prakim, when Yaakov buys the field in Shechem, which the Navi tells us later on is the field that becomes another kever, the kever of Yosef. The Midrash says the following: Amar Reb Yudan ben Simon, Ze echad mishlosha mikomot she'ein ha'umot yicholin lahonot et Yisrael lomar gezulin hen biyedechem. This place Shechem is one of the three places that the world cannot tell you this is stolen because we've purchased it. Ve'eluhen, and here are the three places. Listen very carefully to the three places that no one in the international community will ever question the right of the Jewish people to. Number one, Marat HaMachpelah. Number two, Kurato Shel Yosef, Shechem. Nobody denies the Jewish people their claim to Shechem. And finally, Beit HaMikdash, Har HaBayit, because that is purchased by David HaMelech from Arnon HaYevusi. These are the three places that the entire international community accepts Jewish sovereignty to the land because we purchased it. So, I don't know. Maybe we have to hold on to our deeds a little bit longer. But we've held on to it in the Torah. We've held on to it in the Tanakh. Maybe the rest of the world doesn't always recognize what an achuza is. But we understand what that achuza is. We're back here because of that achuza, because of those achizot. The achiza of Abraham, the achiza of Yaakov, and the achiza of David. This is not something to take lightly. It's not something to take for granted. But it's also something that we have to perhaps ask ourselves, how are we going to hold on to it a little bit more tightly? Have a wonderful day.